Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, sometimes the biggest news isn't about who won the latest race. It's actually the meetings behind the scenes, the ones deciding how races will even be run, maybe for years to come. Today, we are doing a deep dive into exactly that day four of the 2025 World Sailing Annual Conference in Dunlaughair. Lots happening there. Our mission today, well, we want to cut through the jargon, the committee reports, all that. We're focusing on three main things. The pretty big changes from the events committee, the longer term stuff from the Oceanic and Offshore Committee, and, you know, the politics around the vice president candidates. We really want to give you a clear picture of what sailing competition might look like from 2026 onwards.
Yeah, day four was definitely where things got real. It wasn't just talk. These were actual decisions being made, you know, setting directions for rules and regulations. We're talking changes that'll impact everything from the Olympic classes right through to, well, the basic safety rules for offshore racing.
And the big headline, the one that really jumps out, is this. The events committee unanimously approved completely new competition formats. Unanimous. I mean, when you get everyone agreeing on something that big, that structural, wow, it signals a huge push for, well, for change, for modernization, maybe. Okay, let's unpack that, starting with these new formats.
It really is quite something. So the events committee looked at five recommendations from their format working group and, yeah, approved them all. The idea is really about making the sport better for athletes, but also, you know, for people watching. And the core of it is these two quite distinct competition formats they've proposed.
Right, two formats. And understanding that split seems key, especially if you follow the high-performance boats. It sounds like they realized maybe that one size just doesn't fit all anymore, given how different some boats are now.
Exactly that. So format one is designed for what you might call the more established classes, your dinghies, skiffs, multi-hulls. They specifically mentioned the 470 Classic Tactical Boat, right?
Mm.
And then the 49ers, the skiffs, and the Necro 17, the foiling cap.
Okay, so format one keeps some familiar elements, maybe. Still about tactics, crew work, boat handling.
Pretty much, yeah. But then you get Format 2, and this is where things get, well, faster. Format 2 is specifically for windsurfing and kite classes. They list the IKA Formula Kite and the IQF OEL windsurfers. And the reason for splitting them off is all about speed and, frankly, how it looks on screen.
So why the split? Is it just about foils or something more?
It's more about the intensity, the athlete output required, and really the race duration. Format 2 specifically pushes for shorter race target times. Think about it. Kites and windsurfers, especially the foiling ones, they're incredibly fast over short distances, often single-handed. So shorter, punchier races really showcase that dynamism. It's perfect for streaming, for TV, less about pure endurance, more about, you know, bursts of speed, quick decisions under pressure, really tight racing.
That makes a lot of sense from a spectator point of view. It makes it more digestible. But hang on, if it was unanimous, why not implement it sooner? The final decision isn't until May 2026, right? That seems like a long time if everyone agrees now.
Good question. Unanimous approval means they agree on the goal, the direction. But the actual rules, the nitty-gritty, that needs work. The source says they have to go through thorough testing and regular evaluation.
Hmm.
And that phase is absolutely vital. It lets the athletes, the coaches, everyone involved actually try it out, see what works, what doesn't.
Right, that feedback loop. You don't want unintended consequences, like accidentally making a format that only suits one type of sailor or boat.
Exactly. So they present it to the council this December. But yeah, final sign-off isn't until May 2026. It builds in time to adjust. And crucially, they also mentioned ongoing reviews after 2026. So it's not like set in stone forever. It's meant to be an evolving thing.
Okay, that makes sense. Right, let's shift gears a bit. We've talked about the fast, shorter races, the sort of media-focused changes from the events committee. Now let's look at the other side of the coin, the big open water stuff, the Oceanic and Offshore Committee. This is more about safety, long-term planning, governance for offshore sailing.
Yeah, it's a really interesting contrast, actually. While the events committee is making these quite dynamic changes for, you know, 2026 and beyond, the OOC is focused on solidifying the rules that govern offshore events much sooner. They were reviewing this big strategy document, Navigating Offshore World Sailing's Plan to Support Offshore Sailing. And the key outcome there was approving three specific proposals, technical ones: OOC 2025-010, OOC 2025-012, and OOC 2025-011. And what's really interesting is the timeline. These kick in starting January 1st, 2026, much faster.
Wow, January 1st, 2026. That is quick compared to the events committee stuff. Suggest these offshore rules address something pretty urgent. Can you give us a flavor of what those proposals like OOC 010 might cover? What sort of things?
Sure. While we don't have the exact text in front of us, typically these OOC proposals deal with the real fundamentals. OOC 010 is likely about safety gear, maybe stability requirements for boats going offshore, really critical stuff. OOC 012 could be about clarifying protest procedures for long races, you know, when you're miles from anywhere. And OOC 013, probably updates to measurement rules or rating systems for handicaps, how they keep racing fair across different boats. It's all about safety, fairness, and just making it easier to run these big events consistently around the world.
Got it. Stability, protests, measurement. The real nuts and bolts for offshore. And that January date means organizers need to get moving pretty quickly to comply. Now, was it all smooth sailing in the OOC? Did they approve everything put in front of them?
Almost. There was one rejection, which is actually quite telling. Proposal OOC 2020-5009 didn't get approved, but crucially, it wasn't thrown out completely. It was rejected, pending further feedback.
Okay, pending further feedback. What does that usually signal?
Well, it often means the proposal itself might be okay technically, but maybe there are concerns about implementation. Perhaps it costs too much for organizers, or maybe it affects participation in some unexpected way. So they send it back. Go talk to more people, refine it, build broader support before bringing it back. It shows they're being careful, trying to get buy-in, not just push rules through.
Right. Balancing speed with making sure the rules are practical. And they also looked at other reports, discussed the offshore event organizers forum. So keeping those communication lines open. Okay, lastly, we can't ignore the politics underlying all this. All these rule changes, the format shifts, the safety regulations, they're happening while people are campaigning for leadership roles. Day four finished with the vice president candidates forum, right?
Absolutely. And that's a key piece of the puzzle. This forum is where candidates make their pitch right before the General Assembly votes on Saturday. And you can bet the decisions from the events and OOC committees were front and center in their minds and probably in their speeches.
How so? How do those committee decisions play into the VP election?
Well, any candidate needs to show they understand and can manage these big shifts. They need to talk about how they'll support, say, the funding for testing those new race formats. That won't be cheap. And maybe more importantly, how they'll handle rolling out potentially stricter offshore safety rules globally without alienating parts of the community. They need to show they can balance modernization with stability and participation. The people elected will steer the ship through the next Olympic cycle, overseeing all this.
So it's their final chance to show they have the vision for both the high-speed changes and the careful regulatory work. And that forum happened just before the vote on Saturday. The conference itself continues Friday, so things are building to a head. Okay, let's wrap this up. Three key takeaways from day four. First, those new race formats for high-performance classes got unanimous approval, big push for shorter, faster racing, especially in kites and windsurfing. Second, on the offshore side, key safety and measurement rules got the green light for a pretty rapid implementation January 1st, 2026. That's OOC 010, 012, and 013.
Mm-hmm. And my final thought on that is just the sheer momentum. Seeing both the events committee making such a bold proposal and the OOC acting quickly on specific regulations, it really suggests World Sailing is trying hard to, you know, get its house in order, respond to modern demands, and set clear standards, all while navigating technology, media, safety, and, yeah, the internal politics.
Which leads us perfectly into our final provocative thought for you, the listener. The events committee was unanimous about these new faster formats, high-level agreement, but the final decision waits until May 2026, after extensive testing by the athletes and coaches. So here's the question. When there's so much unity at the top, is there a risk that the people doing the testing might feel well-pressured? Could they maybe downplay real technical problems they find just to keep that sense of unity going? How does an organization like World Sailing handle feedback that genuinely challenges a direction they've so clearly and unanimously set? Something to think about as we watch the General Assembly results and wait for that testing phase to really get underway.